Continuing the Shir on Likutei Halachos, Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, Halacha Vav. This is an appendix, actually, to Halacha Vav. In some versions, it's presented as Halacha Zayin, paragraph Gimel. But in fact, we saw in the beginning that this is called Roshei Prokim, meaning that Rav Nosson Zal did not write this the way he wrote regel halachas in a very orderly fashion, explaining everything thoroughly. This is more short headings, in a sense, even though some of the paragraphs are a little bit long, but you'll see that it's sort of in bullet fashion. And for this reason, we'll try to go a little bit slower to make sure that everything is clear. Again, this halacha is based on the last story in Sipurei Maaseiyos, the seven betlers, as it's called, where they appear during a sheva brachas. On the sixth day is when the betler, who has no hands, is the one who makes an appearance. He seems to have no hands, but in fact, he has the greatest power in his hands, as is explained in the story over there. Rav Nosson Zal is going to make reference to the story. He's going to be explaining different facets of the story, and also tying it to the holiday of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, and connecting it a little bit back to the chapter in Likutei Moran, Ayei Mekoyim Kevoidoi, that we were dealing with, chapter 12 in the second half of Likutei Moran. Paragraph Gimel. V'ze b'chinas ma shemaschilin loymar birchas geshem b'shmini atzeres. Based on what we've been learning till now, we'll be able to understand why we begin to say Mashiv HaRuach Umeirad HaGeshem on the holiday of Shmini Atzeres, which is the eighth day of Sukkot, in a sense. Shehu Mashiv HaRuach Umeirad HaGeshem. Ki kol ha-gishmei brocho nimshochim al yidei ho-ananamanal. Because all rain of blessing comes from clouds, the clouds that we mentioned previously, the clouds that the Jews merited during the time that we were in the desert, in the Schus of Aaron HaKohen. There were seven clouds that surrounded us and accompanied us throughout the journey in the Midbar, which washed and laundered and tailored our clothing, and also smoothed out the path in front of us. Shekol koicham lahachzik hamayim ulahoiridom be'itom behadrogo ubemido koroi, whereby the whole power of these clouds to be able to retain the water and to release the water at the proper time, in a proper measure, shelo yishtefu es olam chas v'shalom, so that the rain shouldn't flood the world, but rather, raki moshech mehem brocha v'shefa, but rather the rain should come down in a manner that results in blessing and providing sustenance for the world. Hakol hu al yedei bechinas hayud choymoi shomayim anal. This whole power is related directly to the 10 walls of water in the fortress into which the princess escaped when she was running away from the evil king in the story in Sipurei Maaseiyos. Ve'elu hayud choymoi sanal meskaimim al yedei haruach. Those 10 walls of water, what keeps them standing erect is ruach, a certain wind, shehu bechinas simcha, which Rabbi Nizal says is simcha, joy, happiness. V'alkein onu oimrim mashiv haruach umoyred hageshem, and this is why we associate the two. We said, let the wind blow and let the rain come down. Ki gishmei brocha hanimshochem b'shoroshem miyud choymos anal, because the blessing of rain, it's rooted in those 10 walls of water. Heim boim al yidei haruach, the rain comes down through a wind. Shehu mamid umekim yud choymos shomayim, which is what stands up and keeps firm those 10 walls of water. V'alkein maschilin lahaskir mashiv haruach b'shmini atzeres. And this is why we start reciting this on Shmini Atzeres. She'oz ikar toikef hasimcha shel achag. That's when the peak of happiness of the holiday of Sukkot happens. Bechinas v'hoyiso ach someach, when we are extremely happy. Ki boi smechem Yisroel b'yoyser v'yoyser, because Sukkot is a time of joy and happiness. Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah is the whipped cream and the cherry on top. That's super happiness. As the Gemara says, that Hashem says to the Jewish nation, I've enjoyed so much being with you during these 7 days of Sukkot. Don't leave yet. I'd like to have one additional day with no obligations on your part. You don't have to sit in the sukkah. You don't have to take the lulav and dalit minim. It's just you and I enjoying each other's company. So that this is the epitome of simcha. Va'oz mesaimim ha-toiro maschilin. That's also when we finish the Torah, we complete the Torah, and we start again. V'ha-simcha gedoy lo'oz mo'id. And that the joy is incredible on that day. On Shmini Atzeres Simchas Torah. Shezeh b'chinas asora mina negina. This is tied into the 10 types of song that are mentioned in the story there. Shenim shochim al yidei habal koyach, which come forth through the powerful tzaddik, sheyodea la'akev velasois mishkol l'chol ha'asora mina ruchos, who knows how to control and how to hold back and balance the 10 types of winds, Sheheim Mekaimim Kol Hayud Minei Choymu Shlamayim, which are what establish and support and maintain the 10 walls of water, Shemishom Kol Akshomim, which is the source of all rain, Alkein Maschilin Lahaskir Mashiv Aruch Mordageshim B'Shmini Atzeres. This is why we start reciting Mashiv Aruch Mordageshim for the new year on Shmini Atzeres, Be'es Toikev HaSimcha, when the happiness is at a peak. V'zeh, and this is also what the Pasuk says, Yiftach Hashem Lecho Es Oitzoroi HaToiv, may Hashem open up for you His good treasury, Loseis Metar Artzecha Be'itoi, to give the rain that's needed for the world at its proper time, Ulevorech es kol masi yodecho, and to bless all of your handiwork. Ki hageshem v'hamotor nimshach meho oitzer atoiv, because the rain comes from a good treasury. Shehu b'chinas chadorim nifloim shel hamivtzar shalmayim anal. This relates to the wondrous rooms that are found in that water castle into which the princess escaped, Sheyesh bo yud choymoy shomayim, which has these 10 walls of water. V'alkein ksiv b'moyshe, and this is why we find by Moshe Rabbeinu, when he travels to Midian, and he meets up with the family of Yisroi, and there he's going to find his wife, it says, Vayeshev Moshe al ha-be'er. Moshe Rabbeinu sat by the well. V'omru, Rabbi Steinazal, the Gemara says, Shalomad miYaakov, that Moshe Rabbeinu had learned from Yaakov Avinu, Shenizdamen loy zivukoy al ha-be'er, who also met his zivug at the well. Ki kol ha-be'erois mayim nimshochem mehamivtzar shomayim anal. Because all of these wells that are mentioned throughout the Torah, they draw their spiritual power from that fortress of water, that water castle, Sheshom Borcha Habas Melechanal, which the princess ran into, Shehi Klula Mikol Hazivug Magdoshim, and that princess represents all of the mates of the holy tzaddikim that are mentioned in the Torah. V'alkein Avoy Sa'ola Matzu Zivugam Al Habeer, and this is why the fathers of the Jewish nation, Yaakov Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, found their zivug, their true soulmate, at a well. V'alkein nishlach Moshe el hamayim. And this is why when Moshe Rabbeinu was a few months old, his mother placed him into a basket into the water. V'nikro Moshe al shem kimin hamayim ishisiu. And he received his name Moshe because of the fact that Basio drew him out of the water. Because this secret to be able to enter into the 10 walls of water, the only one who really knows that secret completely is Moshiach, Shehu Bechinas Moshe, who is an aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu, Shehu Hagoyel Tzedek HaRishoyin, Vehuye Hagoyel Tzedek HaAchroin. Moshe Rabbeinu is the first tzaddik to redeem the Jewish people from exile, and he will also be the final redeemer. Kima Shehoyo Hu Sheyihye, because the Pasuk says in Koheles, that which was is that which will be. And the first letters of Ma, Shehoyo, Hu, spell the word Moshe. That Moshe Rabbeinu, the tzaddik who led the Jews out of exile from Egypt, will also be the tzaddik who will lead the Jews out of the final exile. K'moy Shom Rabbeinu Zal, as our rabbis tell us. V'alkein, and therefore, Tekev Kishenoilad, as shortly after Moshe Rabbeinu was born, Hushlach l'toich hamayim, he was thrown into the water, l'hoyrois, to show, shkihu yoidea l'hiskayim b'mayim, he knows how to survive in the water, ki yoidea kol hayud choymoy shomayim, he knows the secret of these 10 walls of water, v'yoidea lichnois bohem, and he has the ability to enter into them, ularapois es habas melech, and to heal the princess, and it's through this process that all of the redemptions of the Jewish people take place. The Alkain, and therefore also, Kol Ovois Ha'olam Osku B'chafiras Be'eros. We find that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were involved in digging wells. Ki Kol Ha'be'eros Mayim Nimshochim B'sholoshim Yud Choymoy Shomayim Anal. Because all of these wells that they dug all originate from and draw their spiritual energy from those 10 walls of water, Sheshom Habas Melech, in which is found the Holy Princess, Shehu Bechinas Malchus Digdusha, which represents the divine kingdom of Hashem, Bechinas Emuna, which is synonymous with faith, V'alkein, and therefore, because of the fact that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were the first ones to be really involved in broadcasting faith in Hashem to the world, that's why they were involved in digging wells, which come from the Malchus, which is synonymous with Emuna. And therefore, Bebirkas Geshem b'Shmini Atzeres, when we recite the special prayer for rain on Shmini Atzeres, which the Chazan says in the beginning when he repeats the Musaf, Shmon Esrei, we have the special, Nusach Ashkenaz says it before Shmon Esrei, I believe, Nusach Sfarad says it towards in the beginning of the repetition of the Shmon Esrei. So there's a few paragraphs there, Nizkar Kol Ze Befrat. All of this, wells, the wells of Avram Yitzhak Yaakov, are mentioned there in detail. Hainu kol inyan habe'eroi shel ha'ovois. The whole discussion about the wells which our forefathers dug. Kalidei kol ze nimshochen gishmei brocha. Because it's from these 10 walls of water in which the Holy Princess is found, which are what supply spiritual energy into the wells which were dug by Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that's where we draw our rain, our Gishmei Brocha from. Any questions, please?
I was wondering if this relates to Kriyas Yamsuf, which is one of the greatest exhibits of Emunah in Klal Yisrael, and the Medrash that says that there were 12 walls of water with fruits coming off of it.
Definitely does. There's other places in Likut HaLochis where Rav Nosson Zal discusses this story, and there he mentions specifically the words in where it speaks about the splitting of the Red Sea, Vahamayim lohem choyma miminom umismoilam, that the water rose up as a wall to the right and to the left of the Jewish people as they were passing through the Red Sea. There, Rav Nosson Zal goes into much more detail, connecting the whole story of Kriyas Yamsuf with this part of the story of the seven betlers.
Rav Nosson, to clarify, this concept of these 10 walls of water, it's a bit mufshat for me right now.
You're right. To be honest, it's mufshat for me also, and I'm not joking, I mean it. Rav Nosson Zal isn't really explaining everything clearly here. It seems that the Malchus is the 10th sphere sphera of the spheros. In that part of the story, everything is 10. 10 walls of water, 10 types of tzedakah, 10 fingers on the hand. I believe it's all tied into the 10 midos of Hashem. And again, the final one, the Malchus Digdusha, is number 10, and it's a klolius, it's a combination of all 10. All the others feed into the Malchus. And the Bas Melech in that story, the princess, she represents the Malchus, the Shechina. The Jewish nation also represents the Malchus.
Thank you, Rav Nosson. So the water castle story is a part of the story of the Zion Battlers, is
correct.
That correct?
Yes, definitely. It's part of the sixth day of the Sheva Brachas. It's a long story there. And at one point in the story, there's a couple that gets married. And during the Sheva Brachas, they're visited by seven great tzaddikim each day of the Sheva Brachas. And Rabbi Nizal told six of the days. The last one that he told was this one. And in this one is hidden the secret. At the end of that story, Rabbi Nizal says that the Betler said, "And I heal her, I cure her." Referring to the tzaddik who cures the Shekhinah, the Bas Melech, the princess, the Jewish nation. So that part of the story really deals in some of the most powerful ways with the curing and healing of the Jewish nation from all the wounds inflicted into us by the Yetzer Hara, by the evil inclination, by all of our enemies who shoot these 10 arrows, which contain 10 different types of poison of the Sitra Achra.
Thank you, Rav Nosson.
Sure. But that's why I mentioned again that this is called Rosh Prokim. This is not Rav Nosson Zal explaining things very clearly. He's touching on things which he's telling us he didn't really get to elaborate completely the way he might have wanted to on each one of these concepts.
He's trying to explain the whole crescendo of Shmini Atzeres coming, you know, back from the beginning of Rosh Hashanah.
Exactly.
Now, you know, the result of, I guess, Yisrusa Dele Tata to Yisrusa Dele Ela, resulting in Geshem.
Correct.
Thank you.
Sure. Now Rav Nosson Zal continues. V'zeh b'chinas sukois v'dalet minim. And this is also tied in again to the holiday of Sukkot and the four species that we take on Sukkot, the Lulav, Esrig, Hadassim, and Aravos. Uklal Hadavar. And to summarize this, Ki Bachodesh HaKodosh Hazeh, during this holy month of Tishrei, Meirosh Hashanah Ad Shmini Atzeres, Oiskim B'Tikun Malchus, Emuna. The Arizal emphasizes that throughout those days we are involved in the Tikkun HaMalchus, which is synonymous with Emuna, Shehi Bechinas Bas Melech, which is also called a princess throughout the Zohar HaKodesh. Sheborcho L'toich HaYud Choymoy Shomayim, the princess who ran into this water castle, which has these 10 walls of water. Shetzrichin L'hoitzi Mimena Kol HaYud Minei Chitzin, and we, the Jewish people, have to extract and remove from this princess the 10 arrows that were shot into her by the evil king. Shezeh nasa al yidei ha-tshuva she'oisin ba'aseres yemei tshuva me'Rosh Hashanah ad Yom Kippur. This is accomplished by the major tshuva that Klal Yisrael does during the 10 days from Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur. V'achar kach nichnosin ba'sukkah, and after that, we enter into the sukkah, Shehi Bechinas Anane Yakovoid, which is referred to as the clouds of glory. Rav Nosson Zal continues now. There's a pasuk in the beginning of creation where it says, Ve'eid Yalem in Ha'oretz, there's a vapor that rises up from the ground, Ve'hishko es kol pnei adoma, and it goes into the clouds and then it ends up watering the earth. Eid Yalem in Ha'oretz. This concept of a vapor rising up from down below, from on earth, ze bechinas isarusa de lesata, that implies the concept that there has to be an initiative from down below. Before the Shefa can flow from heaven, there must be an initiative from down below here. Bechinas tzedakah. This is synonymous with the mitzvah of tzedakah, where we are doing something, we are giving, and we're hoping that as a result of our giving, Hashem will bless us, as the Torah promises. ומזה נעשה אננים ששויפכים מימי השפע ועדס. And this generates the clouds which end up pouring waters of sustenance and waters of das, intellect. שהם נמשוכים בשורשו מבחינס היוד חוי מושמיים, which draw from their source, which is the 10 walls of water. שעידי זה יש כוח בהעננים לסבול המים. And it's these 10 walls of water. Water usually can't stand. Water only takes on the shape and form of the vessel that it's in. And here we're told that the water is standing as a wall. It's from these walls of water, they are what enable the clouds, lisboil hamayin, to contain and hold the water, shelo yetsu b'shetev chas v'shom, so that it shouldn't drop like a tsunami, like a flood, shelo yachrivu ha'olam, it shouldn't destroy the world, sheboze mispoer Hashem yisporach ma'oid b'kama makoymos. And we find that Hashem prides himself about this in several places throughout the Torah. וכמו שכוסוב, as it says, מי פילג לשטף תאולו? Who is the one who holds back the shetef, like the tsunami, holds it back in a vessel? And the Gemara says on that pasuk that Hashem controls the flow of water to such an extent שאפילו אם שתי טיפויס היו יוצאים כאחד, that if two droplets of rain would collide in midair, היו מחריבים העולם, it would bring about the destruction of the world. כמו שם רבי סנוסל, as the Gemara says, so the water, the flow of the rain is controlled to such incredible perfection and precision that each raindrop is an individual, and Hashem sends it in such a manner that no two raindrops collide with each other. V'chol matan Torah, v'chol hizgalus elekustoi lahanavim, uklal Yisrael, hoya al yedei ananim. And the whole act of Hashem giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael, and the revelation of Hashem to the prophets and to Klal Yisrael was always through clouds. As we say in Tehillim, Bi amud onon yedaber aleihem. Hashem spoke to them through a cloud. Ukamashakosuv the kama psukim, as we find in several psukim throughout the Torah. Ki hamayim heim bechinas das, because water represents das. Umehem hascholas habria, and water was the beginning of creation, before land, before anything. The first creation was water. Ki mitchilo hoyo olam mayim b'mayim. Originally, the world was wall-to-wall water. I remember hearing once from Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, that the Zohar HaKodesh tells us to show that mayim is das. We've mentioned psukim before that show this very clearly. Ki molo ha'oretz deyo es Hashem, kamayim layam mechasim. But even the word itself, mayim, you have a yud in the middle and two mems on the side. The letter yud always represents chachma. The yud of yud kei vav kei is chachma. And also Rashi in Chumash on the pasuk oz yoshir moisho v'nei Yisrael, Rashi says there that it should have said shor. Then Moshe Rabbeinu sang, past tense. Yoshir, Rashi says, al shem ha-machshava. The word Yoshir refers to machshava, refers to the future, but it uses the term machshava, which refers to chachma. All the Sifrei Chassidus bring this many times, that Yud represents chachma, also because Yud is the 10th sphera when we're counting from the bottom up. When we consider them as chachma bina das, Yud is number 10 from the bottom. Mem is Bina. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Ben Arboim Lebina. So the word Mayim, you have the Yud in the middle, the Chachma, surrounded by Mems, surrounded by Bina. And we know the combination of Chachma and Bina is Das. This is one of the ways that we see that Mayim represents Das. V'alkein loinizkar Brias Mayim. Now Rav Nosson Zal goes back to a point that he touched on previously. Now we could understand also why the Torah does not say clearly Hashem created water, like it says about other things. He created light and darkness and birds and everything. kinimshochim mehamaymar sosum bereshis. Because as we mentioned previously, water comes from that hidden state of creation, bereshis. Ubohem hayokolul kol habriya, and included in water was the entire creation. Included in that first statement, kamayshakosu bereshis bara lekim es hashomayim vesoretz. In that first pasuk, we have heaven and earth, everything. Veruach Elokim merachefes al pnei hamoyim. And the pasuk continues, and the divine spirit of Hashem hovered over the water. And then it goes on to say, Vayomer Elokim yehi rokia besoy hamayim. Hashem said, let there be heaven, let there be a sky in middle of the water. And then Yikovu Hamayim Itachas Hashemayim, let the waters gather below the heavens, El Mokoyim Echo, to form the oceans and the bodies of water. Shekol Ze Nimshach Mehayud Choymoy Shomayim Hana. All of this comes from those 10 walls of water. Shehem Keneged Ha'asorah Mamorois, which correspond to the 10 statements of creation, which are all included in that first statement. She'al yodom nishave kol habriya besoy chamayim, through which the entire creation was originally formed in water. Al yedei hatzimtzumim shein bechinas hachoymos, through the different constrictions which are referred to as the walls. Ki kulam bechachma osisa. There's a pasuk that says that Hashem created everything with chachma. Shehu b'chinas mayim, and mayim is chachma. Mayim is chachma and bina and das. Ach yefshel kabel ribuya chachma. However, we know that it's impossible for a person to receive too much chachma. Kiim al yedei hatzimtzumim b'chinas choymos. There must always be tzimtzum. There must always be constriction, boundaries. When receiving chachma, in order for the person to receive it in a healthy, positive manner. As Rabbeinu Zal points out in chapter 1 in Likutei Moran, he starts the Likutei Moran by speaking about how important it is for a Jew to have chachma, and then he says, however, because of the fact that the light of chachma is so bright, we cannot approach chachma unless we first have the tzimtzum. The tzimtzum is the walls. And when we damage these walls through our sins, that causes those arrows, that creates those arrows. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to go into this topic of the arrows a little more clearly. We know that there are holy arrows, b'chinas kechitzim b'yad gibor. As the pasuk says, like arrows in the hand of a powerful warrior, bechinas hatfila. We know that our prayers are referred to as arrows that we shoot kavyochol towards Hashem. Sheikra ba'asora, and we know that the main success of tefila is when it's with 10, with a minion. Shehi bechinas drichas hakeshes. This also represents the going with the bow and arrow. Shemoitzi chitzim, which shoots forth arrows. Shehem dibure hatfila, which are the words of our prayers. Kamashakosu besimen pe gimel belikute tanina. As Rabbeinu Zal discusses this in chapter 83 in the second half of Likutei Moran, how the Zohar HaKadosh compares our tefila to arrows. This is also the concept of the tekiyos, the different sounds of the shofar that we blow, shesimonon keshes, whereby the abbreviation, when we want to abbreviate the three sounds of the shofar, tekiyah, shvorim, and trua, because of the fact that tekiyah and trua both begin with the letter tof, for the tekiyah we started with the second letter, which is kuf. So we have tkiya, the shin is shvorim, and the tof is trua, which spells the word keshes, which means, again, the bow which shoots the arrows. The shofar is like a bow that's shooting the sounds upward. Ukeshedoyer hamabul pogmu bavoinosehem. And when the generation of the flood, when they committed all the terrible sins that they committed at the time, pegama bris, and stealing, and other things, Gormul sheniskalkalu achoimu shamayim. They caused the destruction of the walls of the water. So the walls were destroyed. Umisham hoyo hamapul. That resulted in a flood. There's no walls containing the water, controlling the water, so the water just floods the earth. Aval chas v'sholom sheyiskalkalu legamri. However, chas v'sholom, that they should be destroyed completely. Ki yefsher lekalkalom b'shum oifon. It's impossible to eliminate those walls completely. Rak be'erkom niskalkalu kedei lafitzon. It's just that according to the level of the sins that were committed at the time, on a certain level, the walls were broken, were breached, in order to spread, in order to allow the water to spread all over the world. Aval bechemlas Hashem himshich koyach hachoymois hame'akvim hamayim l'toich tevas noyach. However, with Hashem's great kindness, Hashem drew the power of those walls which control the water into Noah's Ark, into the Teva of Noach. Shalidezen niskayem hoilam, which is what allowed the world to continue to exist, to be perpetuated. Kisoid tevas Noach nimshach mehachoimoisanal, because the secret behind Noah's Ark, it draws its power from those walls. V'acharkach nishba Hashem, and after the flood receded, Hashem swore shelo yovi oid mabul, that Hashem will never again bring a flood to the world, bizchus hatzadikim, because of the merit of the tzadikim. V'oz hiftiach, and that's when Hashem made the promise that if ever the world will get to a condition that it deserves to be flooded again, v'niraso hakeshes ba'onon, then the rainbow will be seen in the clouds. The Hebrew word for rainbow is the same word as the word for bow and arrow, the keshes. Hakeshes digdusha, this represents the holy keshes, shemoitzi chitzim digdusha, which gives forth holy arrows, v'hunire ba'onon, and it's seen in the clouds. Sha'al yodoi kol hisgalus ha-Torah, through which comes forth the whole revelation of Torah. We said that prophecy and everything came from the clouds. V'alkein mazkirin inyan tevas noyach b'rosh Hashanah b'tchilas birchas achronos. And this is why there's a whole piece in the Shmon Esrei of Musaf that we say on Rosh Hashanah in the section of Zichronos where we review the story of the flood and Noah's Ark. Ki kol habechinois hakdoishois kshurim zeboze uklulin zeboze, because all the different holy aspects, all the different midos of Hashem and everything, are all connected to each other and they all contain each other. Ki yodua bechol darkei chochmas v'emes, as is known throughout the limud of Kabbalah, that each one of the spheroids is connected to the other spheroids, and each one of the spheroids contains within it all the other spheroids.
Can you maybe explain just a little bit about the koch of the mayim going into the walls of the teva? I always imagine that the teva was kind of on the water or protected from water as opposed to drawing into the teva.
We don't mean drawing it into, we mean that just like the teva was a structure which was able to keep the water out, so too these walls of water, these choymois, are walls which control the water, not allowing it to do any harm or damage, but rather that the water should only have a positive effect. Like we mentioned, the tzimtzum that's needed for chachma in order for a person to receive the chachma in a healthy way. The tevas noyach was a structure like a sukkah, where the walls were able to keep out the damaging, destructive waters.
Could you comment on that the keshet was not seen during the days of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai?
Yes. Rav Nosson Zal speaks about that in, number one, it's mentioned in several places in Likutei Moran, and it's mentioned in several places in Likutei Halacha, many places. Here he doesn't speak about it specifically, but we know that the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the main character trait of a tzaddik by which he earns the title tzaddik is tikkun habris, shmiras habris, purity in those items that relate to the relationship between men and women. And when we speak about the flood, the Torah tells us that the main reason that caused the flood was ki hishchis kol basar es darkoy al haoretz. There was hashchasa, there was destruction. Kol basar, flesh, referring to pegama bris specifically, among humans, even among the animals, we're told at that time. And therefore we're told, the Zohar Kodesh says, man tzaddik, man denotar bris. Who earns the title tzaddik? One who is outstanding in shmiras habris, in purity in bris. Yosef HaTzadik, and the Zohar HaKadosh says, I believe the Gemara even mentions it, that they were praising one of the great rabbis, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and they mentioned it to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal, and he said, let's see how great he is. Was the rainbow seen during his time? Because the rainbow implies that the world has reached a level of pegama bris, that chas v'shalom, were it not for the promise that Hashem made, never again to bring a flood, there would be a flood. So the tzaddik is referred to as keshes habris. The bracha that we make when a person sees a rainbow is zoicher habris. Hashem remembers the covenant. Bris means covenant. And also this aspect of tikkun habris, shmiras habris, which is what gives the tzaddik his greatest power, to protect the Jewish nation. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal was one of the tzaddikim where the Torah says that during his time, the rainbow was not seen at all, to show that he provided a protective cover and shield for the entire world with his presence. One of the main functions of tzaddikim is to protect, to be a mogen, a shield for Klal Yisrael. And the fact that Hashem is very hidden now, and the tzaddikim are hidden, because the Sforim tell us that the tzaddikim emulate Hashem. They don't want to be more than Hashem. If Hashem is hiding, the tzaddikim are hiding also. That's part of what makes it so difficult. That's part of what's causing the darkness in our generation, the spiritual darkness. And our mission is to search for Hashem, like we're learning here. The Ayeh Mekoyim Kevoidoi, where is the place of the Kavod of Hashem? And another version of Kvoid Hashem is the tzaddikim. Hilchos Kvoid Rabbi. We speak about respect for tzaddikim. Kvoid Chachomim Yincholu. That we're searching, pleading with Hashem to reveal to us the true tzaddikim and to allow us to come close to the true tzaddikim who can protect us even from the flood, even from the Mabul. Just as we find Noach, the Torah says, Noach ish tzaddik, and therefore, Noach and those that were close to him were able to be protected and saved even when there was a flood that destroyed the entire rest of the world.
So in a situation today, perhaps where it's difficult to get people to be Shomer Shabbos and they don't want to hear about halachas, if you could focus at least on the destructive human value of Pogim HaBris and somehow change that, it would change the whole picture.
Correct. Tikkun HaBris is referred to as the item which, if a person is able to control that, it has a domino effect. It opens doors in many ways to many other mitzvahs. We know that Shabbos is also called Bris. Tefillin is called Ois. It's connected to many things, definitely.
Parnassah as well, correct?
Yes, Rabbi Nachman writes in chapter 56, I believe, in Likutei Moran, he draws the connection there between Parnassah Benekel, being able to earn one's livelihood easily, without stress, without pain and difficulty, that's dependent on Das, which is dependent on Tikkun HaBris.
I remember seeing one of the Baal Shem Tov's Torah on Noach. He says that Noach had to be nichnas ala teva, and he says teva means the word. Teva means word, referring to tefillah.
Definitely.
Tzairatas la teva.
Yes. In the Sefer Baal Shem Tov ala Torah, there's the largest portion, I believe, of that Sefer is related to that, related to Tevas Noach, where that's the place where the Baal Shem, they gather together the vast majority of the Baal Shem Tov's teachings on the topic of tefillah. It's called Amud HaTefillah, if I'm not mistaken, which is a section in the Sefer Baal Shem Tov HaTorah.
And just like for clarification, he only says kishipaygmin al yedei avonos, the clouds break through and the water comes down and becomes kilkel for us. Is that this idea of klipa kadmal pri, that we get to involve in the klipa, it breaks the pri in sort of an unhealthy way that was holding it before, and it comes crashing down. Does that make sense?
I believe so, because Rav Nosson Zal in other places speaks about this, that the term klipa means shell, covering, the peel,
right.
On an orange. We usually refer to it as something negative, something unnecessary, moisturize. We don't eat the peel usually, the rind. And yet, Rav Nosson Zal says that the klipa serves to protect the pri in a certain sense. We know that once you peel a fruit, once you peel an apple, or you remove the peel from an orange, its lifespan becomes greatly shortened.
I look at the klipa as supposed to draw you into the pri in order to bring out the kedusha. Sounds like everything has to be cool in b'chachma asisa. If we don't look through the chachma, then we're being makakal, the whole purpose of creation.
Correct. Okay, we continue. V'alkein besukas oiskim batikunim hanasim al yedei hatshuva shel aseres himei tshuva. And it's for this reason that on Sukkos we are involved in the tikunim that were prepared through the tshuva which we did throughout the 10 days of tshuva. Shalidei zeh hoitzi achitzim. That's what enabled us to remove the arrows from the princess. V'alkein, and therefore, bechag, on the holiday of Sukkos, which is called Chag, oiskim betikun hamayim, we're involved especially in the tikun of water. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that on each one of the holidays, that there are four Rosh Hashanahs. And the Gemara says also that on each one of the holidays, we're judged for different things. The Gemara says on Sukkos, we are judged related to water. Shezeh soid nisu hamayim bechag. This is also the secret why it's only on Sukkos that we had that pouring, those libations of water that were poured into the pipe on the Mizbeach. The Oz Iker HaSimcha, and that's the peak of Simcha. Bechinas Simchas Beis HaShoyeva, the incredible Simcha in the Beis HaMikdash that took place during the drawing of the water. V'alkein bechag nidoinim alamayim. And this is why the Gemara says that on Sukkos we're judged related to water. Ki ikar ha-tikun al yedei ha-simcha. Because the main tikun of the water and everything is simcha. V'alkein oz huzman simchasenu. And that's why Sukkos is called the time of joy. V'oz nichnosin basukkah. And that's the holiday when we enter into the sukkah, Shehem Bechinas Anane Kovoid, which correspond to those special holy clouds that accompany the Jews in the desert. V'alkein ha-sukkah meramezes al sukkah shel Leviathan. And this is also why the sukkah alludes to the sukkah of the future, that we're told, the sukkah that will be made from the skin of the Leviathan, the special holy fish. As the Pasuk says in Eoiv, Hatemale besukois oiroi? Will the sukois be filled with the skin of this fish, of this leviathan? That's what it's referring over there in Eoiv. Ki haleviathan besoi hamayim. We know the leviathan is a large fish that swims in water. The word leviathan, by the way, is bigimatria malchus. So the leviathan represents this malchus, this shechina. Veshom basuka mekablin ruach chachma hanimshach meonon shalakapoyres. And there inside the sukkah is where we receive a divine spirit of chachma from Hashem, which comes from the cloud which was over the kapoyres on the orain in the kodesh hakadoshim. Shemishom lamdu shir sukkah yudfachim. The Gemara in Sukkah, when it teaches us the dimensions, the minimum height of a sukkah, we learn it out from the height of the Aron in the Holy of Holies, from the Kapoyres, the cover which was on the Aron. V'oz zoichin, and that's where the divine spirit of Hashem came to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'oz zoichin l'simcha, and Sukkot is the main time when we zoichin to happiness. V'alkein tzrichin laharbois bitztoka be'erev sukkos. And this is why Reb Chaim Vital writes in the Kisvei Arizal that one of the most important dates of the year, for a person to gather up whatever tzedakas they have, whatever meiser they have, and to distribute it is on Erev Sukkos. Ki kol tikun hachodesh hazeh al yidei tzedakah. Because the entire tikkun of this month of Tishrei is dependent on tzedakah, shehu bechinas isarusta delasata, which is one of the clearest examples of an initiative on our part, shalideze ikur hatikkun, which is what really ensures the tikkun, the rectification, the completion. We know Rabbeinu Zal says in Likutei Moran that the mitzvah of tzedakah is presented in the Chumash as posoyach tiftach, open, open your hands to the poor person. And this teaches us that tzedakah is what opens, it opens the door, it starts the process, it's that initiative. And Hashem says, when it comes to tzedakah, b'chanuni no bazois, test me with this tzedakah, that if you will give what you are supposed to give, see if I won't respond and give you my gift. I'll open up the Arubos Shamayim, I'll open up the windows of heaven and shower you with blessing. Paragraph Hey, Vezeh Bechinas Ho'arbo Aminim. And with this we understand also the four species that we take on Sukkos. Shemitzvosom Rak Bayodayim, where the mitzvah is to take it with your hands. Kemo Shekosuv, as it says in the Pasuk, Ulekachtem Lochem Bayoyim Harishon, you will take to yourselves. The mitzvah is to take it in your hands and shake it. Kedei lahamshech oleinu koyach hayodayim, by which we're drawing upon ourselves the power of the hands, of that betler who had these super hands. Kal yedei hanianuim moitzim hachitzim, because by shaking these dalet minim in all the different directions, that's how we remove the poisonous arrows that were shot into the Shekhinah, into Klal Yisrael. We know that it's important, it's so important, that the halacha says that, for example, a woman who wears rings on her fingers when she's holding the dalet minim must remove the rings. It must be that you're holding the dalet minim in your hands completely. And not only that, it's brought also that when you're making the bracha on the dalet minim, you must hold them together with your hands, both hands. And even when a person is saying Hallel in Shul, the men were saying Hallel, when they hold the Dalet Minim, also it's brought that it's very important and very beneficial to hold them with both of your hands all the time. When you're going around the Bima, when they're doing the Hakafos around the Bima on each day of Sukkos, and on Hoshana Rabbah when we go around seven times, it's also important to hold the Dalet Minim with both hands. Sometimes it takes a balancing act, because you have to hold your machzor also to be able to see the words. But I remember Rav Rosenfeld stressed this very much. Here we see that this is how we're drawing upon ourselves the power of the hands, the 10 fingers, and all the tens that we spoke about here. We'll hold it over here for now to leave time for any questions, please. Any additional questions? Rav Nosenzal is going to go into a little more on the Dalet Minim, And a little bit more on the whole topic that we're speaking about here, the tshuva, the arrows. Any more questions?
The question is, when we say that it's important to do maisa, which is tzedakah, and so therefore it's really important that we have both hands on our ruminim, I'm struggling with just the concept of things that are representative as opposed to things that are the maisa.
Okay, sure. Rabbi Nachman once made a statement, and this is found in Likutei Moran, that when a Jew turns his payas, there are worlds, heavenly worlds, that move with him. There's a pasuk, Hashem Tzilcha. The term Tzel means shade, to protect one with shade. And the word Tzel also means shadow. The Baal Shem Tov said, Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem is our shadow. Just like a shadow, every move I make, my shadow moves with me. So too, Kaviyochel, Hashem, with his infinite kindness and humility, Hashem has attached himself to us so deeply and so well that every move a Jew makes affects movement in heaven, affects movement of the worlds, all the worlds that Hashem has created. That's true about every move we make. For example, the Shulchan Aruch speaks about putting on your right shoe before your left shoe and tying your left shoe before you tie your right shoe. People who don't know, who have no idea about the spirituality, about this concept of how all the worlds are connected to us, hear this and say, what in the world does that have to do with religion? What in the world does that have to do with being a good human being? I thought the Torah is supposed to teach us to be good people, to be a good person. The answer is the Torah is teaching us everything. It's teaching us about the relationship between human beings and Hashem and spirituality and divinity. And it's also teaching us about how to relate to human beings. And both are critical parts of religion. So that, for example, the mitzvah of tzedakah, where there's an aspect of it that's bein adam l'chaveiro, there's an aspect of unifying, bringing together the top and the bottom, the wealthy person and the poor person, bringing about an achdus, a unity in Klal Yisrael. But on the other hand, the Arizal says there's divine things going on. The Arizal shows how the palm of the hand, the person who's giving the charity, the money that they're holding in their fist, that's the yud. The fist is like a yud, and the five fingers are the K. And the poor person who's reaching out with his arm to receive the tzedakah, his arm is the vav, and the five fingers is the hay. And the Arizal says, therefore, in an act of charity being given, we are turning on the lights of Yud Kei Vav Kei. And so too, every single mitzvah in the Torah has in it a relationship with the divine spirit of Hashem. Every mitzvah. The Shulchan Aruch says, for example, the reading of the Megillah on Purim, the first Mishnah in Megillah begins with the words that the Megillah can be read on any one of the following days, 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. These 5 days of the month of Adar are possible days when the Megillah can be read. And the Shulchan Aruch says that these 5 days, again, represent the union between Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Because if you add up those five numbers, it adds up to 65, which is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And if you take the beginning and end, the first and last dates, 11 and 15, it's 26 Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Sifrei Kabbalah show us how by us flicking a switch, when I walk into a room and I flick a switch, and lights go on, or music goes on, all kinds of things. A person who doesn't know anything about that, they see that, and I tell a person, come here, I'm going to push this button, and you're going to hear a whole orchestra playing. And I push the button, and the orchestra goes on, and the person says, you're a liar. That's impossible. There's no way in the world that pushing that button, they're behind the wall. Behind the wall probably is this big orchestra playing music, which we don't see. You're just trying to fool me. And we know that that's not true. We see on earth today how it's possible that a person can make the tiniest move. There's voice activation and other things like that, where the tiniest move of sound or light can affect all kinds of incredible things going on. That's on one level. And on the other level, the Torah speaks about action. The Torah speaks about running to shul, that there's a difference in a person who walks slowly to shul and a person who walks quickly. Rabbi Nachman spoke about a person giving charity with both hands. That's why there's a custom among many Breslovers. You'll see that when they give tzedakah, they do it physically with both hands. In Eretz Yisrael, it's very popular among the Breslovers in Eretz Yisrael to do it like that with both hands. My Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld mentioned that it doesn't have to mean physically both hands. It means to give wholeheartedly, that you're really giving it with joy and happiness. But in either case, we're showing the concept of the physical and the spiritual being married together in different ways. Sometimes it's shown more clearly, sometimes it's less clearly. Sometimes a person thought alone can make worlds of difference. Rabbeinu Zal spoke about this. Rabbeinu Zal said a person, a human being, has the power of concentration where with thought alone, a person could stop a bullet from hitting a person through concentration alone. So there's both. I hope this sheds a little bit of light on what you brought up.
I saw somewhere
so much.
A few years ago that you should hold the lulav and etrog, the lulav in the right hand and the etrog in the left hand, not both hands on both of them.
It is mentioned in halacha that a right-handed person holds the lulav in the right and the esrog in the left. A lefty holds the lulav in the left hand, I believe, and the esrog in the right. There's a difference between righty and lefty. But the point that I was making was that the person's hands should surround the dalet minuna, holding them together, that the lulav and esrog should be touching. Although, here there's a very interesting point. There's a custom among many Jews to use what's called a koshikel, a holder, into which they insert the hadassim and aravos on the right and left, and the lulav is inserted between the hadassim and aravos, so that there's a separation. All of them are being separated slightly from each other. They're not touching each other. We hold them close together, but they're not touching. And I heard from Rav Rosenfeld that this is based on a dream, I believe, that one of the first Belzer Rebbe, I believe, is the one who saw in a dream, he saw a sofer writing the name of Hashem, writing the Yud, and then the K, and then the Vav, and then the K, and two of the letters touched, which we know is a psul, chas v'shalom. If two letters in the Sefer Torah touch each other, the Sefer Torah is psul. And I believe he saw this either on Erev Sukkos, around the time of Sukkos. And when he interpreted afterwards, the Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the Dalet Minim, the four species that we take on Sukkos, correspond to the four letters of Hashem's name. And the Zohar HaKadosh mentions the concept of bringing them together. They have to be together, but they're not allowed to touch. And therefore, we use this koshikel, we use this insert in which each item of the three items, the lulav, the hadassim, and aravos, each one is in its own little casing. They're close to each other. And then when the esrig is held next to this case, the four are together, but yet they're not touching each other. Any other questions before we close, please?
I think Simchas Torah falls into this category of Shmini Atzeres, referring to the Shefa of Chachma coming down as well. Is there any connection to that?
We did mention it. We mentioned it earlier. If you look back, we mentioned it today about Shmini Atzeres. Yes. He mentions Simchas Torah, the great joy that we have at the completion of the Torah and starting the Torah anew. We definitely mentioned it. Yes, sure. Wishing everyone a wonderful day and a good week. All the best.
Thank you, Rav Nosson.
Sure.
Thanks so much, Rav.
Sure.
All the best.
Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All the best.